Welcome into Other People's Shoes. I'm your host, Neil Matthews, and I just want to say thank you to our sponsor, Art of Plumbing. For all your plumbing needs, remember Art of Plumbing. Striving to meet the customer's needs in a timely, professional manner, there's only one name. It's Art of Plumbing. Always reasonable rates, Art of Plumbing. To satisfy all your plumbing needs, of course, remember it's Art of Plumbing at 541-951-9405. That's Art of Plumbing. So excited that you've joined us for this third season. And as we kick off this first episode, I sit down with a young lady by the name of Heather. Now, Heather has a very unique story. She has walked through some really dark times, and we are going to be addressing the issue of suicide. So if you are a younger listener at heart, this may not be the episode for you. I do want to give a little bit of caution on that. But if you are older at heart, this is something that could realistically wake you up into others that are around you. And I just want to let you know, this is so intense at times and even emotional on my part. And you're going to hear that in the episode. Hope you're ready, because you know I am. Here we go.
Hey, come take a walk with me. Not like you used to do. Do something different. Put yourself in other people's shoes. Open up your mind and open up your eyes and change your direction. Change your perspective.
Welcome into Other People's Shoes. I am your host, Neil. I sit with across the table from me at my favorite location in Medford to do a podcast. It's always outside of Starbucks. Today, drinking a little just coffee, because when you hear about today and everything that's going to go on, it's definitely going to be a wake-up call. I think for some and for others, it might convict you in some respects. And in other ways, it might just cause you to think, pause, and hopefully more importantly, cause you to rethink maybe how you've been doing things in life. I'd like you to welcome in my guest. She is a widow of a veteran. And I've known her quite a long time, since her early years. And I'd like you to welcome in my guest, Heather.
Hi, nice to be here.
How are you, Heather?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Are you?
Yeah.
So, Heather, I want to just kind of just jump into something first, but we gotta get some business out of the way first.
Right.
Show business. See how I did that there? Show business.
Wah, wah.
If we had a sounder right now, that would have been perfect. Wah, wah, wah. What size shoe do you wear?
I wear size 10 women's.
Are you a 10?
I got big old feet.
Wow. I mean, I'm not saying wow, like, wow, yeah, you do have big old feet. But, you know, I actually wear a 12 in ladies,
if you
wanted to know that.
Okay.
I know that only because I was at an Adidas outlet up in Woodburn, you know the area, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was up there, and they had these, like, cheap $26 Adidas.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you remember, I really love Adidas.
Oh, yeah.
And so I bought them, and I take them up to the register, and I'm, like, pumped, and they're awesome, and they're really cool colors. And the lady's like, oh, your wife will really like these. I'm like, my wife? They're for me. And she's like, those are ladies, sir.
Oh, no.
Sir, those are ladies. They're 12 and ladies. I'm like, oh, I wonder why they feel a little different. But there you go. So do you have a certain brand that you like to wear? Or a certain style of shoe that you like to wear?
I like boots.
Are you a boot girl?
I'm a boot girl.
Like a cowboy boot girl?
No. Just like,
okay,
really cool boots with buckles just make me feel a lot cooler than I really am.
You're cool. I don't know about, you know, you're cool. The reason
help.
Why, yeah, well, that's awesome. The reason why I say that is we're in these boots right now.
Uh-huh.
So if they got buckles, you know, Miss Mary Mac with buckles down her shoe,
shoe.
I just changed that just for you. That was all just right off. That's not even in the script.
I like that.
Awesome. So, Heather, we kind of said at the onset, like, you have a great story in my mind. And I know we talked kind of pre-show and even way beforehand about doing this. And I think there was a little bit of apprehension, if I might be interjecting a little bit into your story, right?
Sure.
Because this is a hot topic for you.
Yeah.
And it's a personal topic even.
Yeah, and
in
it's
a lot
something
of respect.
I've struggled with for a very long time. Yeah.
Right. And so part of the reason why you wanted to do this is why?
I just kind of want to get my story out there so that hopefully people who have gone through something similar can really connect. They can know that they're not alone. And, you know, maybe a small part of it is it's a little cathartic to me to just kind of tell my story and get it off my chest. You know, I kept it locked inside and I just let it fester for so long that, you know, I really suffered with that. And so I think that a big, big part of my healing has been telling my story and being open with people. And I think that's really helpful, not just for me, but for other people who can relate.
Yeah, you mentioned being kind of locked inside with this story. What has that really been like and felt like for you personally?
You know, going through the years, I've suffered a lot with depression and anxiety. A lot of it, you know, brought on by, you know, the trauma that has happened in my life. So that's something that I struggle with a lot. It's caused me some setbacks in my life. And it's just something that I work at every day. And it's slowly kind of become a part of me to the point where I don't fight against it so much anymore and, you know, dislike that part of myself. But it's a part of me. And so it's what really makes me me.
So you mentioned some heartache, some pain. Are there some scars? Not maybe physical scars, but maybe emotional scars as well from some of this trauma?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. It definitely, the things that I've been through made it harder for me to trust people, really open up. And so, you know, to this day, it's still something that I work on.
We mentioned kind of at the onset, you're a widow. Mm-hmm. In a lot of respects. Yeah. And you're pretty young.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this like pre-show. Like, I mean, you don't have to say how old you are. If mm-hmm. you want to, you can. But you're pretty young still in mm-hmm. a lot of respects. So how did you, and this is very delicate, obviously, but how did you become a widow at such a young age?
I married at a very young age. I married right out of high school. He was my high school sweetheart, and he was in the military. And so, a lot of people know if you're in the military and you want to be with someone, they kind of force you to get married so you can be stationed wherever they are. So I got married very young, and he had gone on a deployment where he had seen some pretty terrible things. And when he came back, he just didn't really seem the same to me. He was never really diagnosed with anything that I knew of. But there was definitely something different.
Where was he deployed at?
He was deployed to Hurricane Katrina.
Okay. So that kind of gives the time frame as far as, like, time period and all that. That's
right.
Why I'm asking that.
Right,
also.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, when he came back, I mean, things were rocky. They were not the same. We just kind of grew apart somehow, and I really could never put my finger on what exactly had changed. And so we had moved out to Klamath. He had been stationed there.
Kingsley Field area.
Kingsley Field, yeah.
Okay. All right.
And, you know, bypassing a lot of story here, I found out that he was being unfaithful to me.
Okay.
And so I left. I had actually stayed around for a lot longer, you know, probably than I should have in an unhealthy relationship, just because I wanted to be there for him and I wanted to help him through, you know, whatever was happening. And so,
because he's still not right emotionally, he's still not right.
Yeah.
from when he was before he went
yeah.
to Katrina. Okay.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I was young. I was like 22 at the time, 23. And so I just really didn't know what else to do. And so, you know, when I had found he was being unfaithful, I was like, okay, I need to call it. That's the last straw. And so we had separated. And, you know, I think we had tried to reconcile maybe once or twice. And it just wasn't in the cards for us. And so when I told him, you know, once and for all, it's over, I just don't want to do this anymore, the next day he committed suicide at our home. I was not at our home at the time. I was actually living here with my mom. But I'll never forget where
I was.
Yeah,
I was going to say, if you don't mind walking through that, if you're willing, can you walk through that day with us?
That day that I got the call, I was at work. I got a call from my mom, and she really sounded like she was trying to hold it together, you know?
Yeah.
Her voice was pretty shaky, and she said, "Heather, I need you to come over right now." And I said, "What's wrong?" She said, I don't want to tell you over the phone. You really need to come here." And, you know, my anxiety just shot through the roof. I'm like, what is this about? And she said, it's about Tyler. And I knew in my gut something terrible had happened. I wasn't sure if he had hurt himself or, you know, what had happened. But based on previous conversations, you know, the depression that I suspected that he was suffering, I just knew that something had gone wrong.
Well, getting into this, I did some research for the show. And Heather, first off, let me, before we get into this, thank you. That's powerful right there, right?
Yeah.
Hard to say, even in a lot of respects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
First time you've maybe really said it out in a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely on the air.
Yeah. So I don't know if you know this or not. We talked about this a little bit of pre-show. We were actually kind of blown away by this. I think we both were. Oregon is actually eighth leading cause of death in the state of Oregon. Now, this is just state of Oregon stats. I want to be clear on that. This isn't nationwide. This isn't based on veterans or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just state of Oregon stats. And this is from AFSP.org. You can check out other states if you're interested. We will, of course, link this in our show notes. But suicide facts and figures. And this is as of 2019, so eighth leading cause of death in Oregon is suicide.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second leading cause of death between 15 to 34 year olds.
Mm-hmm.
It is the third leading cause of death between 35 and 44 year olds, and fourth leading cause of death between 45 and 54 year olds, and they go on. Oregon ranks nationally, so there is a little bit of a national stat here. 14th Oregon is ranked there.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide costs Oregon, on average, they say $740 million combined in lifetime medical care and loss of care. So that's, of course, as of 2010. So pretty staggering right there. In fact, here's the one that blew my mind away right now is, on average, one person dies from suicide every 11 hours in this state.
Mm-hmm.
Every 11 hours,
somebody
is dying in this state because of suicide. And not that we're on here. I mean, we are, but we're not trying to push a suicide agenda or anything like that. We're
mm-hmm.
just trying to make people, and you have that story. That's your story.
Mm-hmm.
But we're just trying to make people aware of it.
Yeah.
That it is damaging, right?
Yeah. And it's something that I think it's such a taboo subject that I think that people really, really need to be more open about this, because, I mean, it's so easy to just turn inward and hide. And that's, you know, when you close everyone else off, you can't get help. And it's just going to get worse. And so I think this is absolutely something that more people should be talking about, because that's really the way that we can get those numbers down.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. So, Heather, imagine your life, right? You're growing up, right? Pigtails, unicorns, ponies, maybe.
You know,
who knows?
Care Bears.
There we are. All right. So, but going back to this, like, when you were, like, growing up and coming up and that little girl, right, mm-hmm. did you ever imagine your life would ever be the way it is right now?
No way. No way.
How so?
When you're that young, you know, all you can really imagine is just a fairy tale life. And when you're a kid, like, being a grown-up seems just, like, so amazing, and everything will finally be awesome then, you know? And when you're that young, it's hard to foresee really all of those things that you're going to go through, you know, all of those heartbreaks and all of those issues that you deal with on a daily basis. I mean, that's not really something that you can predict for yourself. But then again, when I was that young, I couldn't have imagined, you know, all of the great times I've had as well, you know. I always like to think, you know, I'd grow up and I live in a castle like some princess, and you have horses and all this kind of stuff. But you don't really realize that the things that matter most when you grow up aren't things at all. They're people and their relationships and their emotions that you feel when you connect with others.
And on that same note, I mean, you're really passionate about how people are treated, mm-hmm. and how people are viewed and all of that.
Yeah.
And why is that such a passion for you, do you feel like?
I think it's because anytime somebody talks about something that they've been going through, something that they've been struggling with silently, I kind of see a little part of me in them. And I, you know, I like to reach out and say, you know, you're not alone. There are so many other people on this planet that maybe might not have experienced this same situation as you, but we all have the same feelings. And I had a few people reach out to me in that way before, and so it's almost like I really feel like I want to repay that kindness that was shown to me in a really dark time, because, you know, paying it forward is how we get through life. At least it's how I get through life, you know, spread the kindness around, because what you put out into the universe, that's what you get back.
Out into the universe,
yeah.
And that's what you get back.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
On some respects. I like it. But I like the idea of paying it forward, right? Because mm-hmm. Did you have, and going back to even a little bit of what we were talking about previous with Tyler, did you have those people around you that really came in to support you, or did you not? And maybe that's what has led you, I don't want to say crusade, but mm-hmm. but led you down this path that you are now, where you're like, man, I really want people to come out of that, you know, that shut-in kind of turtle mentality, right? I'm just going to lock the world out and not let anyone in.
Yeah.
Is that maybe what has propelled you in a lot of respects to do this?
Yeah, so when I was going through that situation, I had very few people that were like that towards me, but they were the ones who really made the difference. You know, the majority of people after it happened were hurt and they were angry, and you know, it was really, really easy to think that it had a lot to do with me. And I don't feel any anger towards those people for feeling that, because I know, well, I can't even imagine what they feel and what they've lost. But I did really have to cut ties with very, very many people after that happened. And so there were maybe, like, I can count on one hand the number of people who were really there for me during that time. But it was their strength and their help and their kindness that really got me through that.
I think we have a tendency in our society to play the blame game, mm-hmm. especially when something traumatic like this happens. And it sounds like what I'm hearing you say is, in a lot of respects, you were the source. You were the reason why he chose to do what he did. Mm-hmm. How much weight has that been on you?
It's still something that I carry with me. I mean, this was like over a decade ago that this happened. But the fact that, you know, there are people out there that think that I'm the reason that they lost someone closest to them, I mean, that's hard. And it's really hard that I'm unable to reach out to those people and have a conversation with them. But at the same time, I realize that I can't change the past, and I can't change, I mean, you know, I went through a separation with a husband who was unfaithful to me sure, at the time I had some choice words for him.
Right.
I mean, as would anyone who's
been betrayed.
What wife wouldn't? Sure.
What husband wouldn't?
Sure, but...
I think that's a natural response. Yeah. Right response, wrong response, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You made that choice.
Right,
but... he still made another choice.
Yeah, and the outcome of it, that was something that I never, ever would have wanted.
Yeah.
In any situation.
Yeah. I mean, it's not... Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Okay. Well, I love what you said. You said this in our kind of pre-show preparation. You said you had this internal dialogue. You had to change the internal dialogue.
Uh-huh.
I've never heard that phrasing before in that context.
Yeah.
How does one change that internal dialogue?
A lot of practice.
What do you mean by that?
A lot of practice.
Because I was fascinated by that comment.
Yeah.
A lot of practice. So talk about that.
So it's just all about... the way that you talk to yourself, you know, how you respond in your head to situations, not necessarily just what you say and what you put out there, but, you know, there's a million different things that you're thinking before, or at least that I'm thinking before one word comes out of my mouth. You know, I'm just a thinker. That's what I am. But when the voices, that kind of sound, makes me sound crazy. No, when
the 23 personalities.
When Julie comes out, yeah. I don't know.
I love that movie. I really like it.
But I
do like that movie a lot. So.
But no, the, did I lose the microphone?
Oh, no, there we go.
It really just had to do with the way that I talk to myself, you know, for the longest time, I wasted so many years saying, oh, this happened because you weren't enough, or they didn't love you enough, or, you know, all of these negative things. And so with a lot of time and practice and, you know, therapy, I was able to turn those things around, just kind of rewire my brain, really, and make new pathways that weren't so completely negative all the time. And so that's really how I've been able to deal with my depression and my anxiety. Nowadays, when I have those negative thoughts, I stop and I say, okay, that was negative. Let's see how we can turn that into a positive and make this situation, you know, a good one. So...
I love that. So practical steps for that.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing practically? I know you talk about, like, kind of rewiring,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, kind of new pathways, you know, but what are some practical steps that you've done to really do that? So, again, maybe if somebody out there is like, man, this girl, man, yes. Like, I mean, they might be yelling in their in their headphones or however they're listening. But how would you give practical steps to that? Because it sounds good in concept.
Yeah.
In concept, right?
Yeah.
I mean, oh, just start, you know, positive energy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm a good person, whatever.
Yeah.
I look good. I feel good. I am good.
Yeah.
But it's more than that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, journaling has helped a lot. Writing things down, just getting it out of my head. Doing so kind of forced me to think about the good. And that's really what I had to do at first, because it was all, you know, thinking about the bad in my head over and over, just spinning in circles. And so I really had to force myself to think of the good day after day after day after day. And then once I did that for long enough, it started to become a habit. And so my journaling, what I do is I journal three times a day, morning, noon, and night. In the morning, I write down my goals for the day. Or maybe it's just one goal. Maybe it's just like clean my room, you know. Or maybe it's, you know, meet with some friends or, you know, whatever I want to get accomplished.
Pamper myself.
Yeah, sure.
Hopefully that's on there a few times, right?
Treat yourself. Why not? So that's what I write down in the morning. In the afternoon, I write down something that I have planned for the future that will be like an enjoyable event. Like, you know, coffee with my friend tomorrow, or... I'm going to see my sister next week, or a vacation, or whatever. Something that I can look forward to in the future. And then what I journal at night, and what has been the most helpful for me, is I write down two lists of three things each. I write down three things that I'm proud of, and I write down three things that I'm grateful for.
Say that one more time.
I write down three things that I'm proud of.
Okay.
And I write down three things that I'm grateful for.
So can we, I had a sister that kept a diary, and my wife actually growing up, and I know you know my wife, she actually had a diary / journal as well that actually, I still have a copy of, and most of the journals center around when we first started dating. So it's really kind of cool to look back.
That's neat.
But yeah, but what are the three things that you wrote down, if you're willing to share? If we're going to get into Heather's journal. Could you share those? We're going deep now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Just cracking the lock on that diary,
just
huh?
Ripped it off. Just cracked it. Just like I did with my sisters. Sorry, sisters. Don't. I didn't do that. Anyway, back to Heather.
So some things I've written down recently that I've been proud of.
Yeah.
They've been big things. They've been small things. Probably the biggest thing is I got into grad school.
What? This
girl's
going to grad school.
Yes, I am.
That's exciting. All right.
Yeah. And so sometimes it's really simple things like I'm proud of taking my dog on a super long walk because it made her feel good and it made me feel good and, you know, things like that.
So I guess what I'm trying to illustrate is it doesn't have to be these pie in the sky, way too far, nothing way out of your realm that is, you know, never going to happen, that may not be obtainable.
Yeah.
They're obtainable things.
Yeah.
Practical and obtainable things.
And, you know, some days when I feel like I just want to lay on the couch and depression sleep all day, so, because that's a thing, anyone who's ever struggled with that, you know, I could write down, I am proud for getting off the couch today. Because some days
as lame as that is truly an accomplishment.
Yeah, right. I mean, it sounds
not to make that sound flippant.
Yeah, and
it
sounds lame to anybody who's never struggled with that before. But you know, some days, I mean, I can feel really good about that. You know, because that can be a struggle for me, honestly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel proud about small things like that. I feel proud about big things, and I think that taking those all into account. You know, I can always find three things that I can be proud of.
I think that's revolutionary. I might have to start adopting Heather's journaling idea.
Yeah.
It might help me in a lot of respects. Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up because I was actually going to talk about that. So why do you think people are just still afraid to talk about all of this, the depression, the anxiety, the suicide? Why do you think in a lot of respects, and you've kind of talked about it a little bit, but maybe a little more in depth, why do you think people are so afraid to talk about it?
I think there's such a stigma about it that if you are depressed or you have anxiety or you know, are otherwise neuroatypical, then you're weak. And I don't think people want to be viewed as weak. And so I think that we as a society, you know, people who suffer from it and even people who don't suffer from it, we need to be changing the thoughts about that. This doesn't mean that you're a weak person. It doesn't mean that you're weak-willed. It means that, you know, you're suffering from a disease. That's really what depression is. It's a disease. And so it might not be something that you can see or that affects you physically, but I really think that changing the dialogue around that will be enough to make people realize that there are so many people that are trying to deal with this in silence and on their own, and that's not how we solve this issue.
I think that's awesome. Yeah. And I think the conversation needs to start happening more often.
Mm-hmm.
And be okay with that.
Yeah.
And be okay with it meaning that we're weak. That we're not always strong.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
I mean, just because you have moments of weakness does not make you a weak person.
Yeah.
By any means.
Yeah, I agree. How is, and you've kind of talked about it a lot as well, but how does this word exactly play into your story, this idea of perseverance? How does that play into your story?
I think that perseverance is, it's something that I haven't always had it, per se, but again, I don't think that's something that I've always inherently had, but it's something that I really had to work at, and I had to make it into a habit. Like, perseverance is a habit for me now. It's like a work ethic. It keeps me going. You know, my story could have ended long ago. It could have been, you know, a lot more worse than it is right now. But my perseverance keeps me going because I feel that there's a lot more work to be done to prevent, you know, these kind of heartbreaks from happening to more families out there.
So on that same line, right, this idea of perseverance, that pushing you forward, and that was a great answer, by the way, I just want to expound on that a little more. You're doing some great things, right? You're on this amazing path that would you have ever imagined ever being on? And what's so great about the path that you're on now? Because you can look back. It's almost like a parade, right? You can look back and see all the crazy stuff and the bad stuff and the dark stuff and the rainy times, you know, and the gloomy times. But you can now look forward. What helps you look forward and what path are you on now?
I really think what helps me with that, it really comes down to changing the way I think about myself and the way that I think about what's going on around me. You know, you hear the cliche, it's all about your outlook, you know. That's cliche for a reason. That's absolutely true.
How so? Why is it so true for you?
Because...
And why should it be true for others even?
Yeah, okay, so...
Two-part question.
I tell this to a lot of people. I feel like I wasted my 20s being sad and depressed. And when I look back on, you know, all of the trauma that I suffered aside, the things that would happen in my daily life, they felt like so much. It felt like the world was closing on me and everything was going wrong. What I didn't realize is that things that were going wrong weren't necessarily the things that were happening around me. It's how I was reacting to those things happening. And so, you know, whereas in the past, a tiny little setback would, you know, just set me back for a week. Now it just kind of rolls off my back because I'm like, you know what? There's more positive things that I can look forward to, you know? And I never really thought of that before. I would get stuck in worrying about bad things happen and I wouldn't be able to look forward to the good things. So yeah, outlook 100%.
Yeah, 100%.
That's where it is.
did your pain in a lot, and I know you talked about it just previous, you said you lost your 20s.
Yeah.
Because you allowed pain in a lot of respects to cripple you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And almost maybe even paralyze you in a lot of respects?
Yeah. And so for those who have suffered from depression, this is how I kind of explain it to people who haven't really been there.
So help me out there.
It's like... you've fallen down a well or like a really deep pit and it's dark down there and you don't have a ladder. And so you keep trying, like there's cobbles on the wall and there's little handholds here and there and you try to get up sometimes, but you just fall back down and you keep falling and you keep falling.
Can you see the outside of the hole?
You can see it and you would love to be there.
Okay.
But it's such a struggle to get out of that pit and it's something that you're just constantly fighting against, you know? And the thing that really helps you get out of it, whether that's therapy or medicine or what have you, or a combination of, you know, all of the above, that's the ladder. But that's just the ladder. You still have to work to get up the ladder. You know what I mean?
I think I do. Yeah. Does faith help in that regard in any way? And I mean faith in maybe God, maybe Jesus, maybe somebody, you know, another higher purpose. We're only answering for you, obviously not others.
In my life, it's mostly faith in myself that I can do it. As far as like a higher power, I feel like I used to feel that, but it's just kind of waned over the years. Not because, you know, I've come to the conclusion that that's, you know, just not something worth pursuing, but it's just not something that works for me. I love, love, love that it's so helpful to so many people. That's really, really great. And I appreciate that it's there to help people. But it's never, at least maybe in the past decade or so, it hasn't been a huge part of my life.
So safe to say, and we're really walking a line here right now, because we talked about this a little bit pre-show too, but yeah. you don't really believe in Jesus then, in a lot of respects, or correct me if I'm wrong.
I believe he existed. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't believe in a deity per se, but I don't know. That's something that I don't feel like that's something I don't feel like I really need to live the best life that I possibly can.
Okay. Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
For you,
yeah.
It's okay.
It works for me.
Absolutely.
It might not work for everybody, and you know what? That's okay.
Right.
Because I've always thought that, like, faith and religion and spirituality, that's a very, very personal journey. Very personal. So I would never go up to somebody and be like, hey, did you know God doesn't exist? Like, I would never say that. No.
Well, I hope not.
No, of
course not. That'd be weird, right?
That would be messed up.
Well, especially if we're, like, at Starbucks right now, like, somebody's reading their Bible, and you're like, hey, by the way, that book over there, not a good one.
But I've known people who have done that, and be like, why would you, dude, stop. Why would you do
oh,
that?
Oh, they've done it to people.
I've actually heard people do that, and I'm like, that's not cool, man. Just let them do their thing.
Well,
like,
you know, and here's where I'm coming back to, right? The old youth leader in me, which is kind of ironically how we kind of sort of reconnected,
yeah,
right? In a lot of respects, right? Like, hey, are you that guy that you know? It was like, that was really funny. You didn't sound like that, but in my head you did.
Oh.
Through the headphones. I'm just kidding. But in a lot of respects, right? Faith for me has been a big part of my life.
Yeah.
But that's been my journey. Like,
yeah,
you said, it's been, you know, your journey maybe has been away from it.
Yeah.
Right? Which is okay.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
You know, I just know for me personally, if I walk through what you walk through, I don't know if I could have walked through that without, in my mind, without Jesus.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
Yeah.
And I remember Tyler. I didn't know I was going to get this way. I thought you were going to get this way. But I remember Tyler at summer camp, us duct taping him to his bunk. I do. I remember that. I was a mean youth leader. I remember you guys coming home or coming to church and him being in his uniform. And I remember, seriously, I thought you were going to be the one that would struggle with this. I remember how proud you looked. I mean, you were beaming like the sun. I mean, straight up just like, I can't even describe it. You need sunglasses in that room. You were beaming so much. You really were.
Yeah.
And I remember how proud I was of him and for you both, really. Because I thought, two of my kids have made it. Mm-hmm. You know, two of my kids have made it.
Yeah.
And I do remember going to his service. I remember the gunshots from the honor guard. And I remember actually thinking, and even though I didn't come up to you at the service because I thought there were too many people to approach you, this was my heart to you. Who's around Heather right now? Who is supporting Heather right now? Who is loving on and encouraging and pouring into Heather right now? And I didn't, we had, you know, obviously lost some connections through the years, and that's not your fault, that's not my fault, that's just life,
right?
But I remember consciously even saying a prayer in that moment for you specifically, Lord, put people around her. Put people around her. And I just always hoped the best for you. all of you, you know, and the all of you is all of these youth that I've had the privilege of working with. And then when I saw you the day in the company that we work for, I never say the name. It's more fun to keep it in mystery. That you used to work for. You don't work there anymore. But yeah. But I remember my heart being so warmed. And I remember even going home and telling Elizabeth that you were working there. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited because I thought, this is just me, okay? I know you maybe not subscribe, so to speak, to the channel. And that's fine. You don't have to. But I remember in my heart feeling God saying in my own heart, whether it was him or my own intuition, I don't know. We're going to give credit where credit's due. It might have been him. Probably was, because it was good and good things come from him. But I remember in my heart him saying, make sure you tell her how much you're proud of her. And I remember even when you left that day, I did share that with you. And Heather, I just want to say again, I know we've talked about some hard stuff and some tough stuff, but you are going places, girl. You really are. and I love your outlook. I really do. I love the journaling that you're doing. I just am so excited by that. So anyway, I'm just going to give you a minute to respond if you want to respond. If not, I'll think of something to kind of dig me out of what I just walked through with you. But there you are.
Yeah.
Well, so I am just fascinated still by this idea that you can walk through so much of that and still have a smile on your face and still continue to get up every day. And from the sound of it, sometimes it is a struggle. It's probably a struggle for all of us.
Yeah.
The struggle is real, not to make light of that. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to be, but...
Hey, that's also a cliche for a reason.
But it is a cliche for a reason, right? Absolutely. Yeah. I do love that. But as we look outside, you know, we can enjoy the weather when it's nice and when it's warm and when it's all that. It's easy. It's easy to do that, right?
Yeah.
But when it's hard for you, when it's at its hardest, how do you find that inner strength to get up and keep going still?
What I really do is I think back on the days that were just as hard or maybe even harder, and I remember what I did in that moment and things that worked for me. You know, it's a lot of giving myself just these internal pep talks, you know, and sometimes some days I just need to take baby steps, you know. Sometimes it needs to be, you know, okay, you're making a list, you got to do this, 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 and this. Some days it's just kind of like, stand up and go outside, just do that first, and once you have that handled, then you'll do the next thing, you know. So it's just constantly, again, it goes back to perseverance, just making big goals for myself, sure, but also not forgetting the small ones along the way.
So you mentioned grad school. What else is going on that's so exciting that we should talk about?
Oh man,
because I feel like there's something that we haven't gotten to yet. But it sounds pretty exciting. What's going on that's so exciting?
Oh gosh, there's a lot of exciting things going on. I'm taking a trip to New York City in September, just for a week by myself. I'm just gonna show up and see what it's about.
Some would call that crazy.
Oh, I love traveling. Oh my gosh, it's one of my favorite things.
What's your favorite place to travel to?
Let's see, my favorite place that I've ever been is probably Thailand.
Wow.
Yeah, I went to Thailand a couple summers ago, and it was just...
By yourself or with someone else?
I was with an ex at the time.
Okay.
But I would love to go back by myself. I absolutely would.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so... The people there are just so friendly, and it's so beautiful.
And it's pretty U.S. friendly?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, they love travelers.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's like their biggest economy.
Okay.
Is us
spending our U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Great. Well, Heather, you wrote down a quote as we kind of head towards the finish line here.
Uh-huh.
You wrote down this quote. You said, no one can make you feel inferior. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Without your consent.
Yep.
Why... Of all quotes in the world, there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
Why that one?
Because
Eleanor Roosevelt said that, by the way.
So
we'll give credit where credit's due.
Yeah. So I think that comes full circle back to the things that we tell ourselves and what we believe about ourselves. You know, I've had some terrible things said to me throughout my life. And there used to be a time when I would really, really believe it and take it to heart and, you know, just feel absolutely terrible about myself. And it took me a long time to realize that that was me giving my consent to that person to make me feel inferior. And so I stopped giving my consent to people.
I do not consent to that.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Some people talk protecting the yes. You're saying protecting the consent.
Right, yeah.
You could write a book on that, I feel like.
Let's do it.
All right. Yeah. I'm gonna leave that to you. So I want to end with a couple of things that we're going to play a game.
Okay.
It's kind of a youth game, sort of.
Okay.
You don't have to play trash can, don't worry. I've had a couple people ask that. No, we're not going to do that.
I'm done with trash can.
Yeah. but kind of on that note, right, you, for a lot of years, took on a lot of people's trash, a lot of people's garbage, a lot of people's just junk. And I love what you're saying as far as just blocking all that out, focusing on the road that you're on, the path that you're on, getting up every day, taking a breath in and out and saying, okay, let's go. Mm-hmm. I just think that is so incredibly amazing. And I just want to commend you for that, because I don't think a lot of people could do that. I think a lot of people would want to quit, give up, isolate themselves, lock themselves away.
And there were times that I did that.
Okay.
Sure, sure. But I mean, you know, the people who do feel like that or currently feel like that, I mean, you could turn it all around. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned even losing your 20s, right? You said you never really felt like you had your 20s.
Yeah.
What would you go back and tell that 20-year-old self or 20-something-year-old self? Right now, of course, the Heather right now,
yeah.
To, you know, going back in time.
Yeah. I would tell her that if there's days that you aren't sad, you don't have to feel guilty about that. You don't have to apologize or feel sad for, you know, the amount of time that you need to heal. And you need to reach out and get help for yourself and help yourself, because there are steps that you can take that will make it so you can live a good life, regardless of really what's going on around you. You know, the good life that you live is really within yourself.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. I really do. That's awesome. This has been a lot of fun. Hopefully you've had some fun.
Yeah.
So we're going to play a game I like to call Senseless now. You get to roll the die, and what you roll, we end the show all the time with this game. So here we go.
Let's
roll. Nice, good roll. Oh, you got a number 4.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, I think this is right up your alley.
Okay.
One thing you love to hear.
One thing I love to hear. Do you want to meet my dog?
Is that?
Yeah, I love dogs.
I'm trying to reconcile that. I thought you were asking me, like, do I want to meet your dog? I'm like, sure, I'll meet your dog, but that's what you're saying.
I love it when people tell that to me.
Yes,
I would love to meet your dog. Thank you.
Gotcha. You can have my dog in a lot of respects. I'm just kidding. He's a Jack Russell Terrier.
Oh, I'm still going to take him.
His name's Coda. And small story on Coda. We've had him since my daughter was very young. Very young. He's getting older now because my daughter's 12.
Yeah.
And so I'm fearing that we might be towards the kind of last couple of laps of Coda.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping not, because that's going to be really sad. But we have a dog too. We're dog people in a lot of respects. So anyway, well, Heather, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Last question. I know I said that was the last question, but this really is the last question. Why'd you want to do this?
Because
you didn't at first.
Yeah.
I kind of had to sell you on the idea.
I was a little hesitant at first, sure. I wanted to do this because I feel like I've gone through a lot in my years, and I'm in a good spot to be able to be open about it and talk to other people and share my story and open those lines of communication that have been closed for so long. So I think getting on the mic and talking to you about it would be a good thing, not just for me, but for anybody who listens, hopefully.
Well, we always want listeners, and we always want people, you know, willing to come on and share their story and, you know, kind of talk about what happened. And I think you've done that, you know, obviously very well. And yeah. Hopefully this was a lot of fun for you and just as much as it was for us to do it. So we'll end with that. And so I just want to remind everybody, this, of course, is Other People's Shoes. When you do walk in other people's shoes, you really do get a different perspective on life. I want to thank my guest, Heather, for coming on and being so candid and giving us some real practical steps to, I think, having the best outlook possible. I really do feel like, you know, that could be a book for you one day. I don't know. We'll see what happens to her down the road.
I'll send you a copy.
We wish her, of course, all the best in all of her endeavors and how exciting it is for her to be in grad school. That's really super cool. And if you see her out and about, you don't know if it's her or not, just maybe say, hey, you want to meet my dog?
Yeah.
So that'll be fun. Thank you so much for joining us on Other People's Shoes podcast. I, of course, am your host, Neil Matthews, and I want to thank you. Thank you so much for giving us a few moments this week. I don't know about you, but Heather's episode really spoke to me from a lot of different standpoints. I want to thank her. Some of her ideas about journaling every day, that's something I'm definitely going to take away. How about you? If you found this episode encouraging in any way, of course, we would love for you to share it with a friend, family member, or coworker. And join us back here next week. That's right, next Wednesday we'll have another episode, and we sit down with a guest of mine that, by all looks, may look different than what he appears. And you'll hear about that next week. Hope you stay tuned for that. Next Wednesday, that'll come out. So by the way, if you'd like to hear past or future episodes of this show, please feel free to visit our website at opspodcast.com. And there, of course, you can subscribe through there from your favorite podcast platform. We, of course, are on social media, much like everyone else is. You can like us over on Facebook at Other People's Shoes. To follow us, feel free to do so at Instagram under OPS Podcast Show. If you'd like to tweet us, that can be done at People's Shoes. And I just want to remind you, as we walk through the rest of this week together, remember, when you walk in other people's shoes, you really do get a different perspective on life. I, of course, am your host, Neil Matthews. I look forward to seeing you back here next Wednesday for another episode as we try on someone else's shoes.